Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's a good Sunday morning to you once again. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Fire departments and firefighters are often the unsung heroes of a local community. There are so many traditions that seemingly fade away as time goes on, or even when chiefs change. However, the Fire Museum of Greater Chicago preserves those traditions with the exhibits they have for the Chicago Department and the surrounding departments as well. Once a month, this little-known cultural gem opens up its bay door and takes visitors back in time. Located in what used to be Engine 123's headquarters, built in 1916. The museum houses some of the most earliest of firefighting equipment still in existence, leather water buckets, a hand-drawn horse cart, and a beautifully restored trucks dating back to the 1920s. But that's nothing compared to the stories you'll hear from the retired firefighters who volunteer their time at the small but historically rich museum. Open houses are held from 10 to 2 on the fourth Saturday of each month. And to talk about it all is the museum's president, and that is Phil Little. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know, your father, Ken Little, was really the historian of the Chicago Fire Department, wrote many books on the subject. Tell me a little bit about your dad.
Well, he was the senior dispatcher for the Chicago Fire Department from 1957 and 1992. And his career in the fire alarm office, put him in touch with not only learning the entire city of Chicago, but all the firehouses, all the fire companies. He got to know thousands of firefighters over the years. And so he started documenting a lot of their history and culminating with the books, History of Chicago Firehouses, four volumes that he co-wrote with Chicago Fire Department Chaplain Father John McNallis. So I grew up in a fire department family with Dad, going around taking pictures, stopping at firehouses and such.
Yeah.
And he became the Chicago historian, the Chicago Fire Department historian, and the authority on anything Chicago Fire Department. People would say, if you're doing anything on the Chicago Fire Department, at some point you stop at Ken Little's door.
That's so awesome.
And then he was also having his name, and his participation was instrumental in starting the Fire Museum of Greater Chicago 22 years ago.
Now, tell me about the books he wrote, because there were volumes on the history of the firehouses in and around the city.
Yeah, he started with, Fort Dearborn, where the first bucket brigade here was in Chicago. And going on from there, the first fire engine that they bought and the volunteer days, going back to 1837 when the city incorporated. And then, every subsequent firehouse, that was built. And so he looked at it from the vantage point of if you take each firehouse and you write the history of when it was built, the particulars of it in the neighborhood, why it was built, the fire companies that served out of there, the types of apparatus that served out of there, the men and women who served out of there, things that happened, particular fires that they went to, unfortunately, tragedies that occurred, people, killed or injured, a line of duty, people who got promoted and such. So when you take each individual firehouse and you take those histories, you culminate them together, you wind up with a real picture from beginning to current of the history of the entire fire department.
The Chicago Fire Department was officially 161 years old this past Friday. Let's talk about the history of the department first.
Well, like most of the early days, they were volunteers or volunteer fire companies, and they responded to fires out of a local barn or which they used kind of like a clubhouse, so each mm-hmm. fire company kind of had its own rules, and so they responded, through alarms that were rung through the church bells in the town at the time. That
wow.
was the alarm. So the volunteers are coming out, and of course they were, fairly loosely organized and such. And it wasn't until 1858 where the city of Chicago, like a lot of other towns and villages and cities, brought a steam fire engine. Well, it was much larger, had to be pulled by horses. And because it was a high-pressure steam engine, it needed to be operated by a stationary engineer, and that engineer needed to be paid. And that was the start of the paid departments in the fire departments across the country here, paying people to staff and operate the steam engines. Well, so after many, many years in Chicago of the volunteers, within a few short years, the volunteers were all gone, and it became paid departments. Now suddenly you are paying firemen to be in the firehouse, so they created bunk rooms for them to sleep, as well as they were much more organized and uniformed with uniforms. You know, everyone wore the same uniform, the same badge, the same types of helmets, the same gear and everything, as opposed to the volunteers that pretty much chose their own, types of gear and helmets and such. So it was built on a military style of organization. And so, again, you know, after many years of volunteers, they were all gone. The paid department was now operated, officially in a uniform way, with apparatus being pulled by horses out of firehouses that were built and designed for that type of operation. You know, it wasn't just a clubhouse or a barn or something. So, and we had horses for the next 60 years. And then in 1922 was the last horse-drawn alarm for a steam engine here in Chicago. And because, of course, you know, after the turn of the last century, you know, motorization, you know, was taking over. And instead of pulling steam engines by horses and having a hose cart, and having to get steam up and pressure up with the boiler so you can operate the pump and such, suddenly, you know, you had a motor, you put it in gear, you race to the fire, you carried the hose, the men, the pump, all at the same time. You hooked up to that hydrant, and you pulled the lever, and you had water right now out of that pump. No more waiting, no more boilers, no more. So the whole fire department changed again. After 60 years of horses, the entire fire department in a few short years went all motorized. And again, the entire fire department changed. And, of course, modern apparatus has changed over the years, from the early days with the open cabs, everyone riding on the back steps or the sideboards of the apparatus and such. You know, now all the modern equipment, you know, has crew cabs that the firefighters and paramedics, put their fire gear on inside. They're, you know, safe and enclosed and protected environment rather than hanging on the back step. So that guys did for generations. And by the way, the guys like the back steps. I know you think about them hanging on there, you know, when it's cold out and raining and stuff. Yeah, it's not the most pleasant at times. But everyone remembers it very fondly, hanging on that back step. There's no other thrill than going down the street, hanging on a fire engine with the lights and siren going, I'm telling you.
That's awesome. You know, when you talk about the earliest days before the department was formed, there was about 500 volunteers. So trying to imagine how to like organize and make sure they were all practicing the same things must have been just so challenging. And then on top of that, I mean, some of the ordinances that were around in the 1830s, 1850s, you know, long before even the Chicago fire, it was like, you know, they were required to put a leather fire water bucket, you know, over each fireplace or stove and make sure it's in a conspicuous place, that type of thing. I mean, there wasn't a lot to protect the buildings in and around a newly formed Chicago from fire.
Well, that's correct. And in fact, you hit the nail right on the head there. You know, as we have fire extinguishers in buildings today, people were required to have leather buckets in their homes. And so either they could participate in a bucket brigade or run out with their buckets to help, you know, fill the hand-drawn engines with water and such when there was a fire. Or they could just, what the term was, throw out your buckets. You can throw your buckets out on the street so that everyone running towards the fire can grab the buckets, the empty buckets, and use those. So you wanted your bucket back after the fire. So you'll see quite often in the original leather buckets, you'll see names painted on them and even numbers on them. You know, if you had a big house, you may have had 3, 4, or 5 buckets in your home. So, you know, you had, you know, plier, you know, in script on there. And you had plier 1, 2, 3, and 4 so you can get your bucket back and such. So when you see them in museums and whatnot, the real coveted ones, you know, are ornately painted or detailed and such with either names, you know. Some of the fire apparatus, they would have the names of their engines on it, so you can come across a bucket that said Neptune or Valiant or something on there, you know, so that those buckets belong to that particular engine. They named the apparatus. So so again, you know, some of the more ornate ones there are the highly collectible ones. And we have several in our collection, as well as in those days, again, there was no uniformity for what they called parade uniforms. They used to parade the engines, you know, through town on Decoration Day and different holidays and such. And they were, the volunteers were very proud of their engines. And but again, you know, there was no real safety gear, you know, helmets and whatnot. The hats that they wore at the time mostly were just for identification, you know, so you know, all these guys wore this type and that. And then in 1836, a man named Henry Gratacap in New York, he invented and designed the wide-brim leather fire helmet that we all know today that firefighters wear. Sure. with the long back tail on it. Mm-hmm. He designed that in 1836, and the versions that are still being worn today are based on that 1836 wow. design, the wide brim helmet. And the leather helmets were around for a long, long time. They were the most popular. Firemen, you know, did not give up their leather helmets easily when the transition came. But we have a number of those in our collection going back to the 1860s. And a lot, and in Chicago here, being a highly traditional city in the fire department here, absolutely. The fire service here particularly, a lot of those guys wore those leather helmets. Even though the you know, the rules had changed, you know, they went to these, you know, the high impact, these polycarbonate helmets, which are much safer, by the way. Guys didn't want to give up their leather helmets, and they were still wearing them in the 1970s here and wow. in Chicago here, you know, long past a lot of other communities. And so we have quite a few. We have been very, very fortunate that families of their loved ones that were on the fire service that passed away and whatnot, that have donated their family members helmets and badges and such.
That's great.
So not only do we have a number of just helmets, you know, we know who wore them. We have their photographs. We have some of their badges and such. So, you know, they're members of our community, not just a collector piece.
Well, there's obviously so much passion in this for you, Phil, and all this. And, of course, your dad was such an inspiration. So when did the two of you decide, hey, we're gonna even put together this museum?
Well, it was in 1997. Several concerned citizens who, believe it or not, a couple of them were not even interested in the fire service per se. They were just very passionate about Chicago, and were concerned that and surprised that Chicago, you know, with its great history of, you know, not only conflagrations but also innovations here. You know, the sliding fire pole invented here, the firefighting snorkel invented here, and so, you know, so we have a lot to be proud of in the fire service here. And yet, you know, there was no fire museum. So several concerned citizens talked to my dad, talked to several others, a couple, you know, fire chiefs here in Chicago. And went about putting a little coalition together of a number of people. They sent out letters to some prominent people, other people, you know, the Chicago History Museum. There's a couple fire buff clubs here in and around Chicago, mm-hmm. You know, and so as well as they contacted the fire department. Anyhow, so they just sent out a bunch of letters to who they thought were appropriate people to gather and discuss starting a fire museum. And a bunch of us got together, and in December of 1997, 19 of us organized the Fire Museum of Greater Chicago. And so we've been in business for 22 years. And from those original 19 people, we have 1,000 dues-paying members now, Dave.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So we've really expanded. And so, again, and we started with nothing but 19 people sitting in a room.
That's awesome.
And now we have what was a dilapidated firehouse that we restored ourselves along with other firefighters and other volunteers who came in, and the help has just been overwhelming. I'm constantly amazed the number of people that show up, the amount of work that's been done, the pro bono work, the materials and supplies and things that have been donated and such. It's just overwhelming. What a great feat that the fire community and others have done, you know, to create this fire museum and renovate this old firehouse. And, you know, and of course we've been collecting things ever since, and so we have, you know,
yeah, tell me what you got.
Rooms and rooms full of stuff. Well, we have about 20 motorized fire engines, a couple of them fully restored, a couple that are what we call original condition, you know, from when they last served in, you know, 30s through the 60s and such. And then we have, unfortunately, a number that, you know, that have been donated that were, you know, sitting out in, you know, in barns and yards and such and, you know, fields and whatnot that were turned over to us. So, and then we also have a couple of hand-drawn engines. We have, an original hand pump hand-drawn engine from 1832 that was donated. So we have that. We also have a horse-drawn steam engine that is on loan to the Aurora Fire Museum. We just don't have the space to display it, and when they open their museum in Aurora, Illinois, they have a large three-bay firehouse, which did originally have horses. Our firehouse that we moved into did not originally have horses, so they asked if they could borrow it. So our steam engine is on display at the Aurora Fire Museum because we have an excellent relationship with them, and they helped us get started as well. So it's been a real labor of love here for a lot of firefighters and retired guys, and fire buffs like me and a whole bunch of others. You know, that have been chasing fires all the years and collecting things and whatnot. And wow, look what we've done. You know, and we love sharing it with people, bringing people in and such. You know, matter of fact, I know when I talk with your producer about, you know, the hours, you know, every fourth Saturday we have an open house and such, and maybe, you know, getting more people in, getting the word out and such. Just so you know, in the last 2 months, we've had people there from the state of Washington, Washington, D.C., New York, Ireland, and Germany.
Wow, that's fantastic.
We are becoming a destination point. People are finding us online. People are finding us on Facebook. And you know, of all the articles that have been written about us, and people like yourself were kind enough to give us a mention and share it with your public. People, you know, when they Google us and look us up, they start seeing, you know, guys like you and others, you know, that mention us and whatnot, and the compliments that you give us, and boy, you know, people are showing up. So
well, I mean, it is it's a little bit of an unknown, you know, little known cultural gem that people just don't know it's there, and I think it's just amazing what you do, and I've been there myself, and I have family that has been there, and they just said it's just a, you know, I have a cousin who's a firefighter, and he so much appreciated just the efforts and the time and the detail that you took to preserve all these wonderful items.
Yeah, one of the other things that a lot of people don't often get to see in a museum, you know, you come there and you see, a lot of stagnant things, you know, unfortunately, you know, things that are just sitting there. Well, yes, and we have those stagnant displays as well. You know, it's required, and it's part of our culture and part of our history and the artifacts such. But our main piece that's on display is a fully restored 1928, what was known as an Aaron's Fox pumper. It was made by the Aaron's Fox Company. And this was the Cadillac Rolls-Royce of fire engines in its day, from the teens all the way through the 30s. And the Chicago Fire Department at one time had 57 of these, and they were the highest quality, the highest made fire engines at the time. And we have a fully restored one. It's restored exactly the way it was in 1928. But here's the difference with our museum. We take it out and drive it around, and we take it to events and such. We hook it up to the hydrant, and we lead out the hose and get a couple guys on the nozzle. So we actually step back in the history, driving it around, you know, riding the back step, hooking up to the hydrant, and going and doing all the evolutions and things just the way they used to do it. So it's not just, you know, so if you catch us at the right time or at an event, you know, you can see the history come alive. It's not just sitting there, you know, in a big, you know, building.
Well, you mentioned the fireman's pole and so many other things that were invented here in Chicago. You know, they call it the sliding pole, the fire pole, the Tom, whatever it might be. That was David Kenyon, I believe, who invented this in Chicago in the, it was the late 1870s.
Yeah, it was 1878, and boy, you know your stuff. They kind of discovered it accidentally. They had a tormentor pole while they're putting hay in, the story goes, and an alarm came in, and a bunch of the guys jumped on this support pole, and they slid down the pole to run to the apparatus. And the captain saw this, and he just went, and boy, did he get an idea, and he got permission to cut a hole in the floor from the bunk room above. And they took a pole, and they sanded it down and varnished it and such, and they installed it, and suddenly Engine 21 was getting the fires in the neighborhoods much faster than any other companies. And when the fire chiefs saw this, they said, yeah, we got to do this. And that was the beginning of it. And again, you know, the single most item that is associated with a firehouse is the brass pole, and it was invented here in Chicago.
Absolutely. Tell folks the address.
We are at 5218 Southwestern Avenue. And we are open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every fourth Saturday, not the last Saturday, every fourth Saturday
of the
month.
Which is August 24th is the next one, Saturday, August 24th.
Yes, and we have our directors there and plenty of people to give tours. We give private tours through the museum here, or we could do group tours. Other people just want to come in and just walk around on their own. They're free to do so. Of course, we always have enough people around to answer any questions and such. And we do enjoy sharing the information. And again, just about every single person walks out of saying, you know, I learned so much. I did not know this about Chicago. I did not know about this part of our history. You know, of course, we talk about, unfortunately, some of the tragedies, the Great Chicago Fire, the 1910 Stockyards Fire.
Sure.
You know, the Iroquois Theater, we have a large tabletop model of the of the school fire in 1958, you know, the Our Lady of Angels School.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, there are some, you know, some tough subjects to, you know, if you really want to get into to some of the hardcore history. But, you know, other than that, you know, there's also some lightheartedness, you know. Firemen, you know, are known for telling stories, and boy,
oh,
do we
yeah.
have a lot of them.
That's great.
Our guys are always willing to share some. And not only that, we've got some retired chiefs and firefighters on our board of directors, as well as, you know, members who come to the museum there, and they love the job, and, you know, and they love sharing it with people. You know, it is a unique experience being a Chicago firefighter, and they love sharing the experience.
Well, it's the Fire Museum of Greater Chicago, and for more information, you can become a member, all kinds of good stuff. You can visit firemuseumofgreaterchicago.org. What a fun chat, Phil. I really do appreciate you sharing all this with folks. As I said, I've been there before, too, and it was just a wonderful experience, and I encourage those, whether you're into firefighting or you're a firefighter or not, to come check this place out. It's just filled with great history. Thanks again, Phil.
Dave, thank you. And remember, bring the kids. We have the coolest toys.
That sounds great. All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. News is next on 720 WGN.